We are up to Lama Tesla's base. I don't remember about much. It's not here. I don't remember. I'm muting everybody.
I'm sorry, Rebbe. I'm sorry. I cannot turn off the phone. I can't get to the phone. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll just have to live with it. So this is my right. We are up to the first wide line, Lamed Tes Amid Beis. Tanya, Biku Chaylam Ein Lo Shir. Biku Chaylam has no shir. Rek the Gemara, my Ein Lo Shir. What does that mean, Ein Lo Shir? What does that mean? What is that teaching me about Biku Chaylam that is a special thing in Biku Chaylam? Biku Chaylam Ein Lo Shir. Do other mitzvahs have a shear? What does that mean? Biku Chaylam has a specialty that it has no shear. Right? Zok to Gemara, my ain lo shear. Ilema, I'm sorry, Shabbat of Yaisu Lameima, ain shear lamat l'schara. The schar is beyond comprehension. That's what ain lo shear means. It's schar has no comprehension. There's no comprehension to figure out the schar. Since when does any mitzvah have a comprehensible schar? But then, having zorah the mitzvah kalakim chamura, sheinat yedeya matan schar and shom mitzvahs. Be careful in a mitzvah kala like a chamura, because you don't know the value of the mitzvah. You can't know the value of the mitzvah. That means the value of the mitzvah is beyond our comprehension. I once heard a beautiful mashal. It's from one of the tells of Rosh Hashivas, either a matel or a Beli Meir, I don't remember who it's from. I heard it from Chaim David Keller, Zechut Tzadik L'Vracha. A good muscle to understand the concept of She'enat Yedeya Matan Schar and Shom Mitzvahs. What does that mean? So a muscle or whoever it was said, imagine somebody gives you $10 to watch. What do? You put it in your wallet. Gives you $100, you also put it in your wallet. Gives you $1,000, that you don't put into your wallet. That you put at home in a safe place. He gives you $10,000, you have a safe for that. He gives you $25,000, you take it to a bank, and you put it in a safe in a bank. He gives you $100,000, you also go find a higher level of shmira. What if he gives you $1,000,000? So you hire an armed guard to stand there and watch the money. If he gives you $2,000,000, you don't do any more. You reach the highest point of the shmira you can do. You get to the highest level. At that point, it makes no difference if it's $1,000,000. By the way, the numbers are made up. $2,000,000, $3,000,000. You're going to do the same thing. The highest level of watching you can possibly do. Einat the day of Matan Schar and Shom Mitzvahs means you can't comprehend. It's beyond your comprehension, the Matan Schar of Mitzvahs. Meaning, it's the highest level. Even the Mitzvah Kala has more schar than you can ever imagine. So, to us, the difference in the schar of a kala and a chamura is not in our realm of understanding. It's beyond the highest thing that we can think of. So to say, that's what the Gemara is asking. So what's so special about Biku Chaylam over anything else? Elam Rabbaya for the Godly, it's a cotton. Even a bigger person has to go to a cotton. Meaning, you're a chashiva person, and the guy that's sick is a lesser person than you are. Still a mitzvah to visit him. So the Mefarshim speak out, you see from here, the concept, I don't know if it's good for me that he's coughing so much. What? Yechmiel, maybe move further back, because your cough, I don't want to catch it. Maybe move to that table over there, to the corner, because I don't want to catch that cough. It's not good for me. I feel we got the concept of that the halacha kachol lufich vaydai, the mashu by aveda. If you're a chashiv person, you don't have to stop and pick up an aveda. It's not kfi kvoitcha, right? My mashu I give Reb Chaim Stein was walking in the street and he found a baseball bat. He's not mechuyav to pick up the baseball bat to return it. He wouldn't pick up his own baseball bat in the street, so why would he pick up anybody else's baseball bat in the street? Same thing, that's the halacha by Hashabbat Aveda. By Biku Chaylam, there's no such halacha. There's no halacha that doesn't pass for me. It's not becoming for me to do Biku Chaylam. I feel a God laid to cotton. That's what the Mefarshim speak out. And Rabbi Amar, even 100 times a day. Now, what does that mean, 100 times a day? Mefarshim explained that the main part of Bikur Chaylam is to make sure he's taken care of. There are three parts of Bikur Chaylam. One is to be mechazik him, to make him feel good that you were maxing him to come visit him. One is to make sure his needs are taken care of. In those days, not necessarily were the needs of a person that's sick taken care of. He might not have the proper medicine. He might not have the proper doctors, right? So you have to make sure that his needs were taken care of. And the third thing was to daven for him. Those were the three components of the mitzvah Bikur Chaylam. So here, 100 times a day means there is a chiyuv to make sure he's taken care of. So his situation might change. The obligation of Bikur Chaylam is to make sure that at any point in the day he's taken care of. That's afilu me'apamim b'yayim. Not that you have to actually come to his house 100 times a day. What's it going to make a difference if you're there 5 times or 20 times or 100 times? But you have to make sure, even if it takes 100 times, to make sure that his needs are taken care of. That's your obligation of Bikur Chaylam, within your range. I mean, you're not mechuyav to spend $1,000 to make sure his needs are taken care of. But you're mechuyav to go there, make sure it's being handled with, that it's being taken care of. There is no rush on this Gemara.
The
Exactly. But that's what we're saying is, Ein lo shir means there is no exemption. Not to my right. Amar Rabacha Barhanina. Call Mavaku Chayla, Noitel Echad Mishishim Betzarai. What was Mavaku Chayla? Takes a 60th of his tzar. And the Hagos here changes some say Micholyoi. Takes a 60th of his illness. Amalei, Rabacha, so some who said to him, so they take out the lay and they say, Amalei Abaye L'Rava. In Cain, Lial and Shitim Belukma. So let 60 people go in and get him well. If everybody takes away a 60th of his illness, so the first guy walks in, now there's only 59 portions left. And if 60 people come in, everybody walks away with a 60th of his illness, and he has no illness left. The Gemara, Amalei, he surraised the Be'rebi, Uba Mengiloi. He gave a double answer. The surraised the Be'rebi means that everybody takes away a 60th of what's left. That means the first guy takes a 60th, the second guy takes a 60th of the 59, the third guy takes a 60th of the whatever is left, and so it never gets to zero. There's always some left. So even if 60 people were to come in, now I don't have a math whiz that would tell me exactly how much is left, but it would always be something left. That's one answer, but it's not enough. So then let 1,000 people come in, and at the end of the day, he'll be left with a minuscule amount. The answer is Uba Ben Giloy. It's only somebody who was born Yerachmiel, do you mind doing the test on the other side? I'm sorry to do this. I just can't handle getting sick. And you're really coughing a lot. So I don't know what you have, but I don't want to catch it. I'm sorry.
Just sit over there?
Yeah. Uba Ben Giloy. He's born in the same mazel. Mazel means the same, what word am I looking for? Has to do with stars.
Constellation.
Same constellation. The Ben Gilai. What's that right? The Tanya. What is it called? Why is it called Usuraisa the Bay Rebbe? Rebbe's tenth. What does it mean when it says Rebbe's tenth? Tenth. Now, the Gemara, I'll tell you what it means. The Tanya. Rebbe Yomer. They tell us, a girl that gets fed, that's fed from the brothers, meaning dad died, the boys inherit everything, they're mechuyev to feed their sisters until they become 12 and a half years old. And they also have to give them 10% of the estate, of the land of the estate, pashtus, it's machoikus, but let's say the land, when they get married. That means if a sister gets married, the brothers have to provide her with a dowry or the needs to prepare for her wedding, 10% of what dad left over. Now, what if a person has 10 daughters? So daughter one is going to take 10%. daughter two is going to take 10%, and when 10 daughters get married, the boys are going to be left with nothing. They're supposed to inherit, and they end up with nothing. So Rebbe said, Basani Zainis Menifsi Achim Nitelis Isr Nechassim, takes a tenth. Amr Loi LeRebbe, the Tverecha Mishi Eshla Eser Bonus Obein Ein Loi, if somebody has 10 daughters and no son, Ein Loi LeBen B'Makim Bonus Klum, so the son walks away with nothing? Amr Lehen, Rishayna Nitelis Isr Nechassim. The first one takes 10%. Shniya takes Mamash Shaira. She takes 10% to what's left. Shlishis, Mashi Shaira, Bechazes Zecholkas B'Shava. It ends up, if I remember correctly, that the son is left with like 25 or 30%. Everybody takes a tenth of what's left. So you start with 100%. The first one takes 10%. The second one takes 9%. That leaves 81. The third one takes 8.1. The fourth one takes 7.2 something, and it goes down and down. So by the time the tenth one gets around, they don't get that much, and the boy is left with whatever is left. Now, that's if they get married at different times. So you have a first, and a second, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. What happens if all 10 are getting married at the same time? So what do you do now? 10 girls are getting married. Baruch Hashem, they found their shidduch at the same time. Right? They're each coming for their 10%, and they're starting with 100%. So that's going to clean the boys out. The chayzeris, the chalkas b'shava. If they come at the same time, that's how most Rishayim, I didn't make a count. If they come at the same time, they take as if they're taking it consecutively, but it's not. So therefore, then they divide it evenly. So each, the first one takes 10%, there's no first and second. One takes 10, one takes 9, and they work their way down, and then they put it in a pot, and the 10 girls, since they're getting married at the same time, split that pot into 10. So nobody is getting 10%, and nobody's getting a very little. They're getting an even amount because they're getting married at the same time. So that's how the Ran learns. That's how most Rishayim seem to learn. The Mefarish learns that way. Zucht. So that's where it's called Yisuraisa de Bei Rebbe. Rebbe's tenth. What does that mean, Rebbe's tenth? Rebbe introduced this concept of the tenth diminishing by the same thing here with the 60th. It's Yisuraisa de Bei Rebbe. It's the 60th of what's left. But even that's not by everybody. It's only the Ben Giloi, only if you get a guy that was born in the same mazel. Rashi? God, sorry, yes?
When is the chi of the brothers to give the daughters?
When she gets Kedushin.
When she gets Kedushin. So you're talking about a situation where they all had the same Kedushin, the Vasachas?
Yeah, meaning the girls are, one's 20, one's 19, one's 18, one's 17, whatever it is. They all found the shidduch right away. Meaning, once found it 10 seconds earlier, doesn't make a difference. It's at the same time, meaning it's not at the time of getting ready for the wedding yet. Now you have to start getting ready for the wedding, and all 10 need to get ready for their wedding. Again, this is the sugya subas. We're not learning the sugya now.
There's always going to be a first.
No. First is only if one is getting married and the others are not getting married. They're all getting married now.
That was my question. When is the...
I don't know the exact time. I don't know the exact time. Zakhtarach. Batani Zaydis Menachem, Shbetnaik Subah. Shekhen Kasavah. Why do they get fed? Because that's what he wrote in the Subah. Banam the Beninuk from the Heavy Lechiminoi. Your girls that you have for me will get fed from the estate after the father passes on. Nightless Isser Nechassim, Parnassus Nesuel, to provide for a wedding. Ube Ben Giloi, Shanoi Lebe Masloi.
Who's in Mefarish?
We don't know. At least I don't know.
I have a question. Why is
we call it the Mefarish because it's not Rashi.
This is the Rashi.
Yeah, the Mefarish is the one that's printed where Rashi is. A lot of people can learn, you can learn the Torah with the Mefarish. Problem is, there's a lot of things that are said that are difficult in halacha, or it doesn't work with other sugyas. So therefore, the world, again, developed, whoever developed this. In yeshivas, they learn it with the Ran. Other places, like us, we're learning it with the Rush, because it's shorter, more concise. In Brisk, they learn with the Mefarish also. A lot of Brisk, Torah, is on the Mefarish. The Karen Ira learns everything. He writes on every Mefarish, on the Ran, the Rash, the Ran, everybody. So, again, we picked one. We could have picked the Mefarish. It was one on my mind to pick the Mefarish. But I decided to pick the Rash because that's, I hate to use the word, the more accepted one because it's less difficult, less Kedushim in it than the Mefarish.
The only question is, Rebbe said the word Mefarish at least 104 times
before we started. Right, so.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Why would the doctor ask now the Mefarish?
I know, it's a question that's impossible for me to answer. Nothing my writer. Reb Chalba Cholosh. Reb Chalba was weak. It says weak. It means he was sick. Nafak, they changed the gear sub. Nafak Reb Kahana Achris. Reb Kahana made a announcement. Reb Chalba Cholosh. Reb Chalba is sick. Some are Gairis Ba'esh. He's feverish. The Mefarish brings that down. Ba'esh. He's feverish. Ba'esh means he's not well, sick. But the Mefarish says some are Gairis Ba'esh. Meaning, he's feverish. Sorry? I have a choice of other words, it's boyish. Doesn't say H. H is Lara Yud. Sick. In Aramaic. And some are Gairis Ba'esh. He has fever. Vayikud the Kasi. Nobody visited. Amar. Sir Kahana said. Amar. Amalu. So he told the people in the Beis Medrash. Isn't there a story? One student of Rabbi Kiva became ill. And nobody went to visit him. Rabbi Kiva, the Rebbe, went to visit him. I think Kibdoi means he swept. He swept and he dropped water on the ground to settle the dust, chaya, meaning he recovered because he was taken care of. Till then, he wasn't properly taken care of. He was in a dirty place with dust all over, wasn't helping his medical situation. So because Rebbe Kiva took care of him, he recovered. Amaloi Rebbe Hechisani, you made me live. Meaning it's because of you that I was able to recover. I don't know what would have happened if you never showed up. So Rabbi Kiva went out and darshaned. Not visiting the sick is like killing him. You're not taking care of him. Taking care of somebody helps him recover, and you're not doing that to him. So that's what Rav Kahana announced. Shouldn't be people visiting him? Nobody came to visit. Didn't Rabbi Kiva say not visiting is a dangerous thing? Zuck Darash. Rav Chalba Boish, Pirish Chala. So you see, the Rush learns Boish means Chala. He doesn't learn Boish. Rabbi Ben Madlikin, Min Kadam Beisha, Shabbos. The Gemara there talks about extinguishing a light in front of a sick person on Shabbos. So the Gemara uses Aramaic terms and says, can you extinguish a light, Kadam Beisha, in front of a sick person? Shekibda Beripta Lefanov, Lefnei Achayla. Now, the Rush is bothered. Rabbi Kiva himself swept the floor, and Rabbi Kiva himself is Roshiva. He was at least 80 years old at the time. I mean, Dr. Rush, Betzivoy Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva got somebody to do it. Takes care of his needs. So this is a Shaila. The Rush seems to indicate that Rabbi Kiva himself didn't do it. Now, does that mean Rabbi Kiva wasn't obligated? Or does it mean he had another option, so therefore he used the other option instead of himself sweeping the floor? We hear all the stories of the Daily Yisrael who go and sweep the floor when it's necessary. Oh. But Rabbi Kiva, I don't know what you're talking about. You? I'm sorry. Like Rabbi Avraham Cohen comes here from the Daily HaKayanim, and he sweeps and he mops the floor here, right? So I just want to put it on the record. Now, so the question is, the Rush seems to stress he told somebody to do it. Doesn't say he did it himself. He told somebody to do it. So again, it's difficult as the Rush saying he wasn't obligated, but before we said there's no tour of Andalusia Chalidai. But this is more than just visiting. This is actually sweeping a floor. But the Rush seems to say he Pashtun didn't learn, he had another option. So Rabbi Akiva didn't do it himself. Rabbi Akiva got somebody to do it. Again, if the Rush wouldn't have said it, I would have said Rabbi Akiva did it himself. But the Rush doesn't say that, right? The Rush says he commanded, he found somebody, but Tzivui Rabbi Akiva.
But that, is that, that, does that make a Raya in his mitzvah?
No, because he took care of him. He's the one that took care of him. You hire, listen, the guy goes to visit, and he sees he needs medication, right? And he calls CVS, and they pay for this advertisement, to get the medication. So he didn't bring the medication. He didn't make the medication, but he got him the medication.
With all due respect, it's different hiring an Uber to take your Rosh Hashiva back to the airport, or you driving yourself.
Right.
A little bit of a, you know.
Let's talk this way. Does the Rashiva drive the other Rashiva back to the airport? Or if you call somebody and says, please drive this Rashiva back to the airport?
Now you're talking about two
Rosh Hashivas. Well, the Rashiva was
the Rashiva. It's Talmud. It's
Talmud. Adarabba. So does the Rashiva call somebody and say, I'll drive you to the airport? Or does he get somebody else to drive the person to the airport? Again, this is a Tumul D'Achrayinim. What to do with this Diyak in the Rush? Because the Rush could have just said Rabbi Akiva did it. He doesn't say that. Now, the Mepharsh doesn't say anything, the Rav doesn't say anything, and I don't believe there's a Taisis on this page, so he doesn't say anything either.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Maybe we could surmise that the reason that Rabbi Akiva's students didn't visit each other was a symptom of their, you know, the sort of insensitivity that they may have had for each other, but why would no one visit Rav Chalba?
The only thing I can think of is that, again, I'm very careful when I talk, and I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't be saying, is Rav kind of felt they didn't understand the importance of the mitzvah Bikur Chaylam. And let me, again, explain the way Rav Moshe explains the mitzvah Bikur Chaylam. This is a tshuva in English Moshe. There are three parts to Bikur Chaylam. One is that the Chayla should feel good to visit him. One is that the chaylas needs to be met, and the third one is to daven for him. So therefore, let's say I hear somebody is sick in Eretz Yisrael. I don't have the mitzvah of going to visit him. I can't afford this. I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael to visit somebody. On the other hand, it's also difficult for me to make sure his needs are taken care of. He's 9,000 miles away, whatever Eretz Yisrael is, I don't know, 5,000 miles away, and I can't be on the spot. Yes, like now, Baruch Hashem, we have communication. I can talk to somebody there. But in the olden days, somebody heard somebody in Eretz Yisrael was sick. He could do very little. But he can daven. And that's a mitzvah b'Kol Chaylam. To daven for somebody is a mitzvah b'Kol Chaylam. Rav Moshe Paskins says, if you hear somebody asks you to daven, you're mechuyev to daven for him. That's b'Kol Chaylam. That's the mitzvah b'Kol Chaylam. It's included in the mitzvah b'Kol Chaylam. Now, the Talmidim felt, and these were people sitting and learning, they davened for him. And they felt that they were doing what they had to do. And Rav Kahana was telling them, you're missing the boat. There's a part of taking care of the chayla that you're not doing. And that's what Rav Akiva taught us. Don't rely on somebody else to take care of him, and you just daven. You go make sure he's taken care of. That was Rav Kahana felt, that, and Rav Akiva's, nobody went to visit Rav Akiva's Talmud either until Rav Akiva went. They didn't understand or appreciate the obligation vis-a-vis they're sitting and learning. That's the way I understand it. I might be wrong.
It's a little hard for me to understand, just given how devoted the Talmidim must have been with everything else, that they would have to learn this specifically. If the Rebbe was hungry, they would certainly feed him.
Right. But again,
all right, I'll drop it.
Again, just to point out one thing. If one person's taking care of him, then the other people don't have to take care of him. He's taken care of. So why should I take care of him? The next guy might be taking care of him. The third guy might be taking care of him. What happens is, it's like too many cooks.
Okay, I hear.
Now here comes a Gemara that's extremely controversial. So I'm going to read the Gemara, and I'm going to speak at the Ran, who is the most controversial pshat in this Gemara. Right? The Rush doesn't say it. And then I'm going to talk about what other Mepharshim say. This is an extremely controversial point, and I'm not going to pass to the Shaila. I'll say what most Paiskim say. Just to give our writer. Just to Ravimi Amar, Chamavakar Sakharla Gaila Moshe Yechya. If you visit somebody, you give them cause to live, meaning you help them survive. As we explained, if you don't visit him, you daven for him to die. In fact, the Gemara she almost how could I talk? What, you daven for him to die by not visiting him? No, I didn't. I did not skip anything. I'm doing it right now. Oh, I'm sorry. My grandma, what does it mean it causes him to die? Is it that if somebody who doesn't visit is davening that he should die? What? He's davening for the guy to die? Ella. By not visiting him, you don't really daven for him. Because your situation gets impressed on somebody. When you visit and see his situation, you daven much harder. By not visiting him, you don't daven. You don't daven positive, and you don't daven negative. Let's do the rush. Dr. Rush, it's a terrible, bad thing. Now, Dr. Rush, okay, so you would have done, so therefore, listen to the Rush. You never know who's davening at what time is listened to. There are times that are ace rutsins, Dr. Rush. And when Reuven davens for Achayla, and it might be the right minute, that tefillah will help. And by not davening, he might be missing the opportunity to get this person a refuah. And by not visiting, he's causing the death, meaning he's missing the opportunity to get the tefillah to give him a refuah. Again, if he doesn't visit him, right, he won't daven for him. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Won't daven as well.
The Gemara says he won't daven. The Gemara says, those are the words of the Gemara. Because usually, when one doesn't visit a sick person, he's not foremost in your mind. That's what happens. Therefore, you won't daven. In fact, the Rasha, what if you won't daven? Dr. Rush, because if you daven, it might be the minute that's an ace rutsin. And it might make the, like, remember, we're not talking about conventional medicine now. We're talking about a person that needs a refuah shleima that comes min hashamayim. He either will, his body will fight off the infection, or the body won't fight off the infection. Most people might live, some people might not make it. Tefillah makes a huge difference here. It makes a huge difference by every chayla. But in those days, it was more visible because he couldn't say the antibiotics cured him, right? The Rabbi Nishlam cured him. But you have to daven. Now, you never know whose tefillah or what moment is going to do it. So by visiting him, you're going to daven stronger and better and daven for him. And you never know, it might be the ace rutsin. That's what the Rush says. Ramesha Paskins, before I get to this run, Ramesha Paskins, that he says, it's a chiddush, I mean, Ramesh doesn't need my askama. He says, let's say you're a regular person. You're not even so zor in every mitzvah. You're not Mr. Chash of a person that, you know, people run to for brachas. You're not the person that people run to for brachas. You're a regular guy, and maybe less than a regular guy, Dr. Ramesh. Not so careful in everything. From, sometimes a little frumer, sometimes a little less frum. And somebody comes over and says, do you daven for me? Dr. Maishi is mechuyav to daven because every tefillah works by the Rabbi Yisraelim. It might be that person's tefillah that'll save the chayla. Because the Gemara says, v'chol mishayin v'makros ha'chayla. Anybody. Doesn't say if the tzaddik doesn't go visit him, or the big person doesn't go visit him, ain't a mevakash olav rachmim. Anybody that is told and asked, says if somebody receives a letter or a phone call, please daven for me, mechuyav to daven. because it might be his tefila. I had a guy test himself. My tefila? Are we kidding? Are we kidding ourselves? My tefila? Who am I? You don't know, Dr. Meisha. And he passes it lalocha. It becomes a chi of the daven for him. If somebody asks you, it's a request. If you don't have the request, the chi is not there. The request of tefila, if a guy requests, you have a chi of the daven, no matter who you think you are.
Wait, I don't know if you know where the email, what the email is. I get 1,000 a day. This call of a
sudden. Baruch Hashem, I don't get 1,000 a day. Baruch Hashem.
You have the money aspect of it. Is that considered a sivui?
I don't know, but the way I taught myself is when I get an email that somebody needs to tell him, I say a kapitul to him right then.
Really?
Shira Malos, yeah.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Just say Shira Malos. For this chayla.
Rabbi.
One second, Harvey. An email comes in, please daven for Pliny Ben Pliny. So I stop right there. And I say Shira Malos, which I timed myself. Takes me about 25 seconds to 30 seconds. I don't put on my garto. I don't get up and put up a hat. Whatever way I am, I say one Shira Malos before I go weiter. Yes, Harvey.
What about from the chola's perspective? If I'm seriously ill, the last thing I want is someone coming and visiting me. I'm very serious. I do not want to. Now, do I have to let people come in so that they'll daven for me?
Tomorrow's going to talk about that, but you're going to have to wait till next week. I don't know until next week. Well, either to the end of the week or to next week, depending how it moves. Tomorrow's going to talk about it.
Okay.
Now, here comes the Ran. Chiddush Nifla. The Ran is bothered. The one who doesn't visit the chayla. Listen to the Gemara's lashon. Ein mevakish olav rachmim, loishi yichya veloishi yamos. He doesn't daven for him to live or to die. Take the one. What do you mean? Just say he doesn't daven for him to live, and therefore he might die. What is veloishi yamos? Zakt deran. That sometimes a person gets to a situation that he's terminally ill. And he's suffering. It's a mitzvah to daven that he should pass on. This is what the Ran says right here on Mem and Aleph in the Torah. It becomes a mitzvah, and he brings the story. The Gemara in Ksubas, Rebbe was very sick and suffering tremendous pain. And the Chazal were davening that he should live. And his maidservant, Amsa the Rebbe, saw how much Rebbe was struggling. So she said, Rabbeinu Shlalom, the upper spheres are arguing with the down spheres, whatever word I'm looking, the lower spheres, whether the Rebbe should live or die. That's the way she used the thing. Ereilim and Mitzukim Eichzim Ba'aran. The Malachim and the Talmid HaChachamim are holding on to Rebbe. Malachim want him to take him up, and the Talmid HaChachamim trying to keep him down. And she said, let the upper ones win. But the Chavam were davening. Rebbe couldn't die. So she took something and threw it on the floor, made a huge noise, and for a second, they stopped davening, and Rebbe died. So Duran, how could you do that? Duran is a raya that one can get to the situation that one should daven that somebody should pass on. It creates a huge tumult in the Achrayim. Huge. Beyond. Can somebody daven that somebody should die? So most Achrayim say no. No way. That this rod is not lahalacha. Most Paiskim don't bring it. There's one Paisik that brings it, the Aruch HaShulchan. Everybody else does not bring this rod to halacha. We never get to the point that we should daven for somebody to die. What they do say is, most Paiskim, that we get to a point that would stop davening for the person to live. Become neutral. But to daven that somebody should die, we're not holding by asking the Rabbi Nishlam to take away somebody. Shuvas and Achrayim about ill, sick people that beg people, daven that I should die. Are they allowed to listen to him? So one of the Achrayim say, I'm not passing Allah Chalamayis, by the way, but one of the Achrayim say that the family cannot daven that she should die because they have, there is an ulterior, possible ulterior motive. It's costing them a lot of anguish. It's costing them a lot of money and tsar and time to take care of this person. When a person dies, even though they don't want him to die. But the bottom line is, there's a sense of relief. And therefore, they're negeya bedavar. And since they're negeya bedavar, we don't want them to get involved. Even though they're same Shemayim Amish. You never. But strangers, if the chayla is begging, davening that I should die, this achron paskin, they're allowed to. However, most achronim disagree. They say, you can stop davening, they should live. At what point? A consensus seems to be, and I'm not paskining, when they are terminally ill, there's b'derech hateva, no chance of recovery, and they're suffering. Key element here. Now here comes the big shiloh that comes afterwards is, can you withhold treatment? Which is a major controversy in Dachroinim. You have from one end to the other end of the spectrum. The Velt paskins like Reb Shlomo Zalman, that if a person is suffering, you're not allowed to pull anything off that they have, but you don't have to put on machines to continue their life. They wouldn't be able to live without that support. They can't pull the plug. They can't take off a respirator. They don't have to put a respirator on. If the person is suffering and is terminally ill, then there's no chance for survival. That was reflected in the Talmud's Pesach. And again, I'm not passing along Lamaisa. This is something that has to be decided by the individual rabbi. There's a story, Rabbi Yashiv doesn't hold that way. Rabbi Yashiv holds you can never stop treating a patient. Ever. The story of a person who was close to Rabbi Yashiv, whose mother was sick, and she asked, do not put me in a respirator. She became unconscious. Doctors wanted to put a respirator on. Her son, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yashiv, asked Rabbi Yashiv, said, my mother told me not to put a respirator on. Should I? He said, you have to put it on. So he put it on, and she woke up. And she saw she was in a respirator. She got very upset at her son. And a week later, she died. So the person came to Rabbi Yashiv and said, my mother died upset at me. He said, don't worry, now she knows I was right. So he told him. Now she knows I was right. So he said, okay, go argue with Rabbi Yashiv. But that's a big machlokes. And you have from one end of the spectrum, Shlomo Zalman is the middle way. See, because the kasha they have is from Chal Shabbos for a person to live 5 extra minutes. 1 extra minute. From Chal Shabbos for a person to extend his life by a minute. And you're not treating him? This is the question that everybody deals with. If you're mechuyev to treat him, if you're allowed to be Chal Shabbos with the rices, to extend his life by 1 minute. So, can you not treat him? So this is the sugya, but this is not for us. That's where Paiskim will have to paskim halacha. I'm just bringing up. This Ran is the beginning of the controversy. Can one daven that somebody should die? The Ran says yes. Most Achrayim say we don't paskim like the Ran. So, again, halacha l'maisa, this is something that would have to be discussed with somebody's LOR. But halacha l'maisa, most Paiskim say don't daven that somebody should die. You can stop davening that the person should live once the person is terminally ill and suffering. Again, I'm not basketing, but this seems to be the consensus. Zakti Gemara Weiter. Zakti Gemara Weiter. Rava, Yoy Mekadma the Cholish, the first day that he was sick, Amar Loin Leisigalo Leinish. Don't reveal it to anybody. Leilistri Mazle, because I don't want my mazel to be bad, meaning, because what happens is, the way the Rush learns, at the point that a person's sick, he needs more rachmim and hashemayim. He's bedin. A person that becomes ill is really now bedin upstairs. Should he recover or not? And if his enemies daven against him, there's room for their tefillah to work against him. So the less people that know about it, I'm better off. Dr. Raj, the Lishri Mazel, the Nafal Tura Chadudu Sakina. That's the way the Gemara Shabbos says. When the shahr falls, sharpen your knife to shecht him. He's now easily shechtable. He's laying on the ground. So don't, that's the time you grab him. Your enemy is asking bad things for you. He'll get sicker. So therefore, the less people that know about it, the better off I am.
How about all your friends who could have
One second. Let's give the man a chance. Mikav Eilach, Amaline, if he was sick from water one day, he said, Puku Vachrizu Bashuka, go announce it. The Chol the son of Lechdali, everybody hates me, let them be happy. And what happens is, the Pasuk says, don't be happy when your enemy has a downfall. The Pasuk continues because Hashem will take that anger at him and put it on you. So it's Kedai for my enemies to know. Let them rejoice that I'm sick, and then the Rabbi Hashem will take it away from me. Udurachimli, and the ones who like me, the boy Rachmi should daven for me. So this becomes a big machloikas halacha lemaisa, and I'm not going to paskel this. Does one tell people that they have an illness? There are those that say, many paiskim, the less, don't tell. Because there is a concept of nes nister and nes nigla. It is easier for a person to have a miracle, a recovery, again, in an illness that needs, that the statistics, not that we go by statistics, aren't so great. Or even if they're great, but there's a statistic the other way, as little as it is. It's easier to get a nace when nobody knows about it. That's called a nace nister. The less people that know that one is needs of a miracle, the person is better off. There's many paiskim that'll tell people, don't tell anybody. Ah, you're losing the trilus, but you're making it easier to achieve the goal. Many paiskim paskim that way. But did he have obda? I'm only talking about myself. When I was told I need a kidney transplant, I mean, I knew a long time, but when I was told that it's imminent, that I need it, we have to look for a kidney, and I need a kidney transplant, and I was approved. So I called Rav Aaron Feldman, Rashiv in Baltimore, and I said, my gut feeling is not to tell people. Why should I tell people it's easier to get? I called my whole Kiddush Taira, right? He told me, no, make sure everybody knows they should daven for you, because their trilus will help you. So I announced it. I let them use my name publicly because of his stock. So you have two schools of thought here. I'm not going to pass him which is the right, because many Gdaili Yisrael hold the other way. I know many people that were ill and nobody found out about it until their later stages of their illness because they kept it quiet, hoping for this nes nister that's easier to achieve than a nes nigla. And then I know people that are told, Adarabba, be mefarsimit, let the world know, so there'll be more trilus for you. I'm not going to decide which is right and which is wrong. Again, in my own case, I was told to publicize it.
What does this thing mean? Because the Ra'ah, so they're going to dive in a situation where, if people find out, his enemies are going to...
No, his enemies are asking for him to have bad anyway. They're always, his enemies are against him.
I understand.
So therefore, their tefillah might be chal now.
I understand, but the point of it is, his enemies, are they roy? Are their tefillah roy?
So again, we're going to try this one more time. So to Moshe, everybody's tefillah works.
Is these enemies persons tefillah, enemy? Who says he's roy? Who says his tefillah's enemy?
Okay, so I'm not going to sit and argue with you now. I'll just quote a Gemara. Gemara says in Marcus, Gemara says in Marcus, that the mothers of the Kahanim Gedalim used to go buy presents and feed the Reitzchim in Arei Miklat. So to Gemara, why? Because the Ritzayach is sitting in Arei Miklat. Remember, he murdered somebody. B'shagig, but he's a murderer. Not usually from the high class of society. Again, he might be, but usually not. So the mothers of the Kahanim Gedalim used to run to give him food because he might daven that the Kohen Gadol will die because that's his ticket to freedom. Fregid Achreinim, a Ritzayach, versus the holiest man in Klal Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol. His tefillah is going to get the Kohen Gadol to die? Achreinim said, yeah. Yeah. It could. Because it's a tefillah. And tefillah works. It's a Gemara. There's no way out of that Gemara. No way out of that Gemara. People underestimate the power of tefillah. Tefillah works. Tefillah works. So, it's a Gemara. the Kohanim Gadolim had to bribe the Reitzchim not to daven that their son should die. There's a guy that's in Ari Mikla because he killed, and the Kohen Gadol, the holiest kid in the world, holiest one, might die because this person's davening against him. Yeah.
I understand we should be happy with him when Iran goes down.
No, we're not talking about Guy's enemies now. The person has a business competitor making life miserable for him, and all of a sudden he takes a big hit financially. Don't rejoice. Don't be so happy that his business just took a big hit. Because one who's happy when his business took a big hit, maybe your business will take a big hit.
Jews, talking about only Jews?
Jews, yeah. Even though Haman, this is Gemara Megillah, Haman used this pasuk on Mordechai. Because when Mordechai, when he told Mordechai to get on the horse, right, and Mordechai said, I can't climb, I'm too weak. So Haman had to bend down, and Mordechai climbed on Haman's back, and he gave Haman a nice zets with his feet. So Haman told him, "Befalav ve'chav tismach." He quoted this pasuk. How could you do this? Haman asked Mordechai. Mordechai said, "That's only by Yidden, not by Goyim." Gemara Megillah. My page. That'd be my life. I wasn't embarrassing you. I didn't have. I wasn't trying to. But. I'm sorry, I apologize. There's no kuf lam in the Megillah.
Yeah. That was a joke?
Yeah. Nothing in my writer. I'm a rab. I'm a vakar es hachaylam. Nitzum medina shogahanim. Somebody visits sick. He's nitzum medina shogahanim. Shlemar ashrei maskil odo. Fortunate is the person. Maskil means he puts himself to take care of him. The Rush says he puts himself to take care of him. Eldol to the person who is poor. B'yoyim ra, in a bad day, Maltei Hashem. Ein dol l'chayla. Dol means somebody that's ill. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Gimel, what is it? I don't want to pronounce the word wrong. Midala yevatzeini. Midala yevatzeini, that's what he says. Okay, I'm sorry. Means, from illness he will save me. Inami minadenkra. It says that one of David HaMelech's kids was sick. He asked him, "Adu ata kachadal ben HaMelech, babayker, babayker. Why do you look so ill every morning?" And ein ra'al gehenim. Says Hashem will save him miyoyim ra. What is a bad day? Gehenim. Shenemer kopol Hashem lemaneu. Hashem created everything for his sake. V'gam rasha liyoyim ra. Even gehenim for a rasha is created for Hashem's sake. Punishment. Tzchar v'aynish. Right? But it's called yoyim ra. Dr. Rush. Maskil odol. Mashgiach Elov, he watches him, Levakroi, with Vakayach Mitzrachim to take care of his needs. Bimbikur Mascharai, what's his schar? That's the Gemara Mascharai, because I mean, it's a Medina Shal Gehenim. It saves him from Gehenim. That's a pretty big schar. That's the Gemara Mascharai, Bailam Azeh. Because one of the mitzvahs that Karen Kayam is Bailam Abba, Bailam Perisayim, Bailam Azeh, he gets the fruit in this world, is Bikur Chaylam. So what is the fruit in this world that the man gets for doing Bikur Chaylam? So the pasuk says, Hashem yishmereu v'chayehu. Hashem will watch him and make him healthier. V'u'char ba'aretz. He will be successful in this world. V'altetneu b'nevesh ha'ivav. He will not let his enemies take care of him, give him over into the nevesh of his enemies. Hashem yishmereu m'yetzahara. V'chayehu m'yisurim. V'u'char ba'aretz yakum eschabdim b'ay. Everybody will treat him honorably. V'altetneu b'nevesh ha'ivav. She's damnum loireim k'naman shuripus saratai. He'll have friends like Naaman who advised him to go to Elisha who took care of his tzaras. Rechavim had friends that caused him to lose his kingdom. They advised him to be harsher with the Yidden than his father was. And that backfired. So have friends that look out for your good. Don't have friends who think they're looking out for your good, but give you bad advice. So Trashi, she reported mitzarata, she su ate so little by Yarden. It was Elisha, told him to table in the Yarden, and he didn't want to do it. Naaman heard Elisha told him to table in the Yarden. He said, I need a table in the Yarden. I have much better rivers in Baghdad. I don't have to table here. So somebody told him, what do you care? Just go into the Yarden. You never know, it might work. And it did. So they gave him good advice. My father punished you with rods. Akrabim is a rod that has nails sticking out. So they told him to tell that to people, and they rebelled. And he lost his kingdom. He lost 10 of the 12 shvatim. Why? Because his friends gave him the wrong advice. We'll stop here. We'll continue.